Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the 21st episode of 1870 Bible Study. We're back at it again. As promised here, after a little gap of probably several months of not doing any broadcasting, I didn't get to much last episode. I guess this isn't the episode that really was playing a while. I wasn't around for a little while, but put simply, let you guys know there are things in my own home I had to get in order. Things which were holding me back from moving forward with the broadcast. Things were holding me back from moving forward with my life. And while they're not all fixed, I will say they have greatly improved during my time that I was absent. However, one unfortunate circumstance that is not going to get fixed, and one I guess I'll go ahead and share now. I live in a rural part of Georgia, pretty much central Georgia where I live at, a little over an hour south of Atlanta. And I live in a small town, about 1,200 people here in the town I live in, which I've only lived in a few years. Before this, I lived in a town, one town over, which had 400 people in it. So it's a small area, rural town. Internet options are limited. The only option I have is AT&T. Now, a couple years ago, I could have gotten AT&T high-speed U-verse internet with, I don't know, 12, 16, 18 something, MBSs or something like that. I honestly don't know what that means. I know the bigger the number, the faster the speed. And I didn't do it because at that time I was not able to. Again, as I'll get more detail in later episodes when it's relevant. It's not relevant to the topic today. But when I get to the topic that is relevant, I was not in a position to make that decision to do that. So I didn't take it at the time, 2 or 3 years ago. I basically had to wait for a while. And hopefully, you know, wait till situations improve, wait till finances improve, and then I was going to attempt to get internet, high-speed internet, run to the house. And I wanted to build an actual studio here at the house. Not a studio, but much more than what I'm using now, which is a cell phone with a Bluetooth headset. So the Bluetooth headset is at least noise canceling. It's a better microphone than just using the cell phone, but it's a poor connection. I wanted to use something better. I go back and I listen to the episodes, and it does not even sound like me. It is pathetic how weak the audio is and how poorly the audio comes across. Plus, I wanted to be able to add sound effects and stuff like that to it. I guess a lot of the mentoring comes from off of The Iron Show with Johnny over there at The Iron Show. You'll find him on the Fringe Radio Network. I've talked a lot with him and a lot with Paul Kennedy over the past years of how they do their setup, especially with Johnny. And he's explaining to me how to do it. Of course, I can't do that because I don't have internet. So basically what's happened today is in recent times, I've decided to go attempt to get internet. I called AT&T up, and they're no longer adding internet in my area. But simply because I live in a rural area, I guess there's a minimum standard they have to do to meet minimum requirements. Everything's covered under the Telecommunications Act. If you're not familiar with the Telecommunications Act, it was put about by Franklin D. Roosevelt during the Great Depression. It essentially gives the telephone companies a monopoly. The way they do monopoly is everybody gets a different piece of a pie, and they have a monopoly on their piece. Well, AT&T has my piece of Georgia, and they're basically allowed to do whatever they want to, and there's no competition allowed to come in here and compete with them. So put simply, you know, it's not a true free market, so we suffer. Because of that, I'm not able to get internet. I can't get internet ran to my house, and so that's it. There will be no chance to get internet. I cannot, at this point in time, upgrade this show to a stronger connection. I don't have enough internet connection here at my house to run videos. I don't have enough internet to run Skype internet. The only internet I have is through my cell phone. And it's not very reliable. I am fortunate there are mountains about a mile from my house, maybe 2 miles from my house, and the cell phone tower is still on top of those mountains, so I get a very good signal. So, I mean, I get the best internet a cell phone can provide, but it is at times patchy and doesn't always work good. So, now we don't need to get off onto a poor pitiful me deal here. So, we want to go on now to the next topic. And as I say, unfortunately, I'm going to be coming with the same poor audio that I've been coming with for years. It's going to be, basically what you're getting now is what I'm going to get. I'm not going to upgrade that part. But, hey, everything else is improving that I've went down all that. things are much improving. Unfortunately, I did not get to improve the broadcast quality of this show, but that's okay. Just means I've got time to learn how to do it later. So, that being said, we're going to go off to the 21st episode today, and let me get back over to my show notes here. I forgot what I just did here. Yes, I'm going to leave this page, get the computer going here. So, back over here to the episode info. Now, I want to talk about something I briefly mentioned in the last episode. This is a show that I realized I never did, so I'm going to pull from the hip here. I was going to do this show actually a year ago. I wrote a rough outline, which basically is where I just copied and pasted onto the show notes here. So if you're looking at the show notes, you have my rough outline there. That's pretty much that. If you ever see these, these are kind of how I do my show notes, because basically I'll start talking and I'll kind of forget what I'm talking about, just that way, pretty forgetful at times. So I make basic show notes, and they're pretty much just, you know, topics I need to make sure I talk about, basically fill in everything in the gap is me just flapping my jaws to talk. And what I want to talk about here is another Origins episode. I did some of these back in the past. I believe it was episodes 9 and 10, and this is kind of a continuation of those two episodes. It was, at that time, on episode 9 and 10, I was really deep into the devil study. I was studying the enemy. I had went through every single verse in the Bible. I searched all the words for devil, and I started in Revelation. I got all his names, the devil, the serpent, Satan, I mean, anything you could think of calling the devil. I got, you know, the angel of light, all those things. I took all those references, and I cross-referenced them through Greek and Hebrew, through English, and I found every occurrence of the devil in the Bible. And I studied this for months and months. And I just began to study where he occurs. I read every single verse that involves anything about him. And from those verses, once I found them all and read them all, I then went back and read them in context. I read the paragraphs around them and really began to immerse myself in studying the devil. And I went through basically 12 episodes of studying the devil. And, you know, all the things that they want, studying the devil, studying the angels of fire, the seraphim, which were the cherubs of, you know, the cherubim of fire, the seraphim. Studied the fiery serpents on the way, all these things. And this show was supposed to go along with that series. But, of course, as I was reaching the end of the episodes there, as I mentioned before, as soon as I got to talk about episode 12, I believe it was episode 12 of my last episode of the Devil Study, I stopped doing the broadcast, the Devil Study, because, put simply, I felt like I was giving the enemy too much attention, and I wasn't giving enough attention to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because ultimately, guys, if you don't know salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ, you're lost, and I would hope more than anything, you know, if you sit there and listen to my shows about the devil, but I have not taught you anything about Jesus, then I've fallen short. So I turned around and gave several episodes into the birth of Jesus, to the Christmas story, and all the different things there. And that was the reason for the abrupt change during the show there. It just came out heavy on my heart that I had to do a little interlude there and talk about salvation. And pretty much I'm not going back into the path of the devil study, but this was one of the topics at that time I wanted to discuss a year ago when I was doing this study, but just I felt like I was putting too much information out at one time, so I decided to save this one. So now a year later, I'm pulling this from memory. I literally just decided about 2 hours ago to do this show, and I wasn't ready yet at the time, so I had to go get my Bible out and pull out and put my bookmarks in there so I can go through a little quicker through my notes and find the notes. I didn't know the notes were. I had to dig around and find them. I couldn't remember where I put them at. Say it was August of last year. So it literally was a year ago that I actually did this. So yeah, interesting now that we come back 375 days ago. I'm sorry, it was July 27th, 2014. I thought it was August. So July 27th, 2014 is when I saved these notes. That was going to go with this show. And I don't know whenever I actually started broadcasting the Devil Study, but this is when this one was saved. The final edit. Every time I edit it, it updates the date on it. So July 27th, 2014 at 11:21 a.m., I did this show. And we're going to get into it now. Also, one more note before I get into this. Currently, I'm broadcasting 2-3 times a month. I'm currently doing it during the week, pretty late at night. That will be changing soon. Starting in September and through most of the year, summer months being a little crazy. You know, kids are out of school, so I have to work around that schedule. But when school's back in, starting here in September in just a couple more weeks, I intend on going to same format, maybe it'll say about 3 shows a month, and I will be broadcasting live during the week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, that time frame, and it'll be during the daytime hours, you know, anytime between probably 9 a.m. and 1 p.m. Probably sometime around that time frame will be my broadcast time. I'd say later than 9, probably 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Put that about my approximate time frame to broadcast. And like I say, I'll attempt to do a show almost every week. I'll take some weeks off because I don't want to get up here and just run my mouth about nothing. I want to actually talk about things that are of substance. So if I get to a week where I'm a little burned out or I need to maybe study a little bit more, I'll take the week off to get caught back up on my studies. And, you know, like I say, I don't want to just fill years with pointless nonsense just to say I do the show every week. So I'm not worried about meeting any kind of a schedule or nothing like that. But, by the way, one of the reasons why I run solo on Blog Talk Radio is not the best format to do this. I've had opportunities to go join other networks. I actually at one point did join another network. That was the Axe Radio Network, with the hopes of taking that to bigger steps later on down the road. But during that run, which I enjoyed doing that show, but during that run I realized my style of what I do is not good with a fixed time slot. Because if I don't have something to talk about, I don't want to go in here and talk. I don't want to, just ramble on for no reason. So getting back into it now, back on topic of what we're discussing this week, to give you guys an update of what we're doing there. We're going to look at Revelation 17. First, I want to point out, I really won't be able to completely define this all, but Revelation 17 and 18 are referring to two different time instances. Now, in the book of Revelation up to this point, we have defined the seven seals, which were torn by the Lamb. You might remember that, and the Lamb appeared in the kingdom in heaven. The Lamb appeared there, and they saw the great scroll, and they said, who is worthy to open the seals on the scroll? And they said, the Lamb of God. He was the one who was worthy, which was Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was the only one worthy to open the seals. And the seven seals were opened. And after the seven seals were opened, seven angels came and blew seven trumpets. And, of course, after seven trumpets were blown, the seven bowls of God's wrath were poured out. And, by the way, 777 making 21. And now today we're talking about it on episode 21 of the 1870 Bible study. So now that we're here now looking at this, and you see kind of why 21, when we realized we're at episode 21, I said this is a good time to talk about it. This takes place after the 21 events. Now, the reason why we got to define this here is that if you look at Revelation 17, you'll realize this is not until after the sixth seal, and possibly not until after about the fourth or fifth trumpet. I can't really define exactly where this beast will ascend out of the abyss and where the great mother of harlots will come also. But Revelation 18, which both talk about the same thing. You both talk about Babylon the Great and harlots. Revelation 18, the harlot of Revelation 18, you got to consider what's going on in the book of Revelation. Revelation 18 talks about, talks about the abundance of her luxury, all her sins, the same things that Revelation 17 talks about there. But when it gets down to the kings of the earth who committed fornication with her, and they stand at a distance in torment watching her, and all the merchants within her, about her destruction, how they all came from all the way, all the ships came, how they traded, and all these different things. You got to keep in mind that what you're reading here, you're reading the events of the beginning of tribulation, where the world as we know it is destroyed, and that's what you're looking at. We live in Revelation chapter 18 right now, we live in the moment preceding up to Revelation chapter 18. Pretty much, probably, I'd say this stuff ends. Revelation 18 ends shortly after the time of the four riders. I believe that the sixth seal is the event that changes everything. It was the first show I did on 1870 Bible study, the day the world changes. And that is the sixth seal in the book of Revelation at the end of the sixth chapter. It's the day that changes everything. At that day, everything is different. That's when the great earthquake will happen. That's when the abyss will be opened. Now, you get some tricky there, because not until the fourth trumpet, I believe, maybe third trumpet, you have the angel, Satan, fallen from heaven, who has the key to the abyss, who unlocks it. So maybe even though it's opened, the beast still lock in down there. Maybe the opening just allows the devil to get in and lock it. I'm not sure. I'm not got that part of it figured out. that somewhere between the fourth trumpet and the sixth seal, this in between those two events is where this all Revelation 18 ends and Revelation 17 begins. I know it's a little tricky being put backwards, but Revelation is notorious for doing that. Even though many of the events are given chronologically, there's a lot of parenthetical parts of this chapter where, you know, prime example being, you know, the book of Revelation went all through six chapters. Chapter 6 will give you all six of the seals being broken. Then chapter 7 has nothing to do with the seals. You know, it just gives you important information at that time. Because in chapter 8, chapter 9 will go through, you know, the seventh seal and the first six trumpets. Then chapter 10, chapter 11, you know, chapter 12, all these things, you know, they don't cover the seventh trumpet yet. You know, so you get after chapter 11 when you get this talks about the seventh trumpet. And, you know, again, chapter 13, chapter 12 being completely parenthetical to everything else, meaning they occur all over the book of Revelation, not necessarily in that one time spot. Same thing here at 17 and 18. The reason why 17, in my opinion, is given first is 17 is the original spirit of harlots. Now, understand also, this beast from the abyss, many will say that the beast, the 10 kings, the seven heads, all the seven mountains, that's true. And they'll point you simply to a nation. You know, Rome, the revised Roman Empire, where seven hills it sits on, is the one main event. You know, when people, those who are against the Catholic Church, mainly sit there and say the Pope will be the head of it. He'll be wounded and he'll come back to life. You know, you've heard all that. Stand yourself, it's out there. And I'm not in any kind of way saying that's not true, because there's a much deeper layer to this. The other side of this, many people will say the city on seven hills is Istanbul, which used to be Constantinople. It used to be the head of the Roman Empire at one point in time. It fell to the Muslims, hundreds of years ago. I forget which year it was now. I'm thinking right around 11th, 12th century is when it finally fell to Muslims. They took over it, converted all the churches and the mosques, and they renamed the city Istanbul. It became the head of the Ottoman Empire at one point in time. A Ottoman Empire being an empire of 10 kings, which Istanbul was also on seven hills. So, you know, the case can be made either way with the beast, the nation of the beast, let's say it that way, with the nation of the beast being either a caliphate Muslim empire or the nation of the beast being a revised Roman empire. You know, it can go either way. It depends on which day of the week it is. At this current point in time, I lean more towards the Muslim side of being the physical nation of the 10 kings. But I've done shows in the past where I've talked about 10 kings of the food industry. You know, there's 10 kings of all kinds of things. So I don't get too caught up on those specific details. I study them all. I'm prepared for any one of them to come true. But, you know, I'm open-minded to all of them here. But the important thing to note is behind all these kings, behind all these kingdoms, there's a spirit that drives all these things. There's an angelic power that they serve. That is what we're looking at here. That is the origin of all this stuff. See, the harlot, the great Babylon, you know, the great system of money which everything is traded in, that may be physically what the great harlot is. It says right here in the Bible, you know, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. You know, that is physically what it is, but there's a spirit behind all that. There's more to this world than what you can see and what you can touch. You know, we can't see and we can't touch God, yet he's all around us. You know, the Holy Spirit's all around us, yet we can't see it, we can't touch it. Yet on the other side of that equation, there's evil spirits, there's demonic spirits all around us. We can't see them, we can't touch them, but we know they're there. And we know that if we have Christ as our Savior, we're protected from these spirits. You know, everybody knows the verses in Ephesians talks about this. You know, we're guarded from all the levels of spiritual attack. You know, the arrows of the enemy have no effect against us. Now, we have on our helmet of salvation, you know, and we walk in the truth and, you know, so on and so forth, guys. You know, we have the breastplate was, I'm forgetting what it is. The breastplate was righteousness. So, yeah, you know, go back and read that there. I'm shooting my memory here on this one. And I actually haven't went back and read that in a while. So, being that I'm stumbling over right now, I'm getting time myself to read it when I get down to the show. But, you know, we're protected from these things. But you got to understand just that verse there, which, you know, they are there, even though you can't see them. In Christ gives you all of that. So, you know, if you don't have that yet, that's the first thing you need to get. You need to get your spiritual armor. Once you've got that spiritual armor, you know, you need to go read about the 10 virgins, and you need to make sure your lamp is full of oil. You know, I can't promise you when this world will come to an end. Every generation up until this point in time, and even the people who live in this generation now, even myself who lives in this generation now, we've all believed we were the final generation. We've all believed we were living in the last days, in the end of times, and that the coming of the Lord was gonna happen at any point in time. And I believe that today. And so has every generation before me, and up until this point, they've all been wrong. And I may be wrong also. So the first thing you need to do is be a virgin, waiting for your husband to return. That husband will be Christ, the head of the church. You know, the virgin being the church, his bride, you're waiting to be. That's how Revelation ends, with Christ taking his bride being the church. You need to be that faithful servant waiting. You need to have yourself full of oil. Oil would be the Holy Spirit. You know, be full of the Holy Spirit. How do you get full of the Holy Spirit, guys? You study God's word, and you get on your knees, and you pray. You repent to Christ for your sins. And you know that God had a son, and that he gave his own life for your sins, and that is the only way to heaven. If you have that, you're safe. And then after that, you get to studying stuff we're talking about here. And you get back into this beast here right here in Revelation 17. Because now that you have all those things accomplished, now you're ready to study the deeper, darker things. At that point, it doesn't matter if Christ comes in your life or not. Maybe we're wrong with the timing. Maybe we will all grow old and die. Prepare for your life, you know, prepare to grow old and die. You know, don't sit there and live like, you know, today's the last day of the world, but also at the same time, also be prepared that today may be the last day. Today may be the day the Lord calls you. So, you know, you got to look at it in both ways there in this one. And have balance in your life, you know. I would say that if you're out there and you're young and you're making money, you know, think ahead. Especially if you're into physical type labor. I know a lot of people who are older who have done physical labor that no longer can make money. And they're scrambling to have food. You know, I would tell you if you're young now, especially if you're doing a physically demanding type of job. You know, I know a lot of people who I would say are older. I mean, they're not really that old. I know a lot of guys who are in their late 40s and in their 50s. Who struggle to do the same labor they did in their 20s and 30s because they wore their body out, because that type of physical labor is demanding, and they no longer can work. And yet here they are, probably got a good 30, 40 years of life left, and they can't draw an income to feed themselves. So, you know, it's always smart to, you know, the storehouses of the wise are always full. That's a quote from the book of Proverbs. So, you know, be prepared to go in this world, you know, without being greedy, and at the same time, you know, be giving. I know it's a hard balance to find, and the topics for my show generally are not the ones where you find that balance at. You know, you go to more core theology stuff, you know, more stuff like Charles Stanley or something like that. You know, this more common Christianity will teach you how to do that. So that's the most important thing I guess you could be doing right now. But at the same time, you know, we're getting back in this great harlot here. Because as we discuss these spiritual things, as I went off and all these things are spiritual, the driving force behind Babylon was spiritual. You know, they always bowed down to Baal. They always worshipped the beast, whether they knew they were worshipping the beast or not. I'm sure some of them knew and some of them didn't. That's always what they were doing. Revelation 17, this great harlot, you know, is given to him by one of the seven angels, and he tells him he's going to come see who the kings have committed all the fornications with. You know, all the people that have been drunk off her wine. You know, and he goes out And John here is carried out to the wilderness. That's where he sees the woman. Let's see, we'll pick it up here in verse 4. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, you know, the colors of royalty, and was adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. On her forehead was written a name, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. And John saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. Now the angel will say to him here, why did you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has seven heads and ten horns. So right here, you're under the beast that carried the woman had seven heads and ten horns. And right there, you know by that description, only two people ever got that description in the Bible. Satan himself, seven heads, ten horns, and the beast who ascends out of the abyss also had seven heads and ten horns. They both were red. One being scarlet and one being red. The beast that you saw was and is not, and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was, is not, and yet is. Now remember, it says those who are not written in the book of life, because you remember those who are written in the book of life are sealed by God. That's the tricky thing among rapture teachings, that they take with these verses here. You know, it has been said, we're not appointed for God's wrath. You know, you'll go through all through the Bible, people fight over this. You know, there's verses that sit there and say, you know, we're not appointed for God's wrath, yet then there's other verses that say we're going to be here through tribulation. There's verses that say all these people get sealed. The angel comes out and says, you know, wait, you know, hold back the four winds of the earth until we are able to seal the servants of God on the forehead. You know, that's Revelation 7, I believe, is where that's at, possibly 8. But you can go back and check that for yourself. I'm going by memory here. Go back and read those verses there. So understand there's a lot of stuff here happening at one time. So, you know, getting back to that, the people who were, when the angel goes out and seals those servants of God in the forehead, that's their protection. You know, that's their sealing. You know, they're sealed off. They're protected. They're cut off from these attacks that are coming during this great tribulation. You know, whatever you want to call that. You want to call that being taken to a place of protection. That's what some people call that. If you're going to call that being called up to a place, you know, I'm not trying to change your theology or what you believe here, but understand that no matter what you believe, at that point in time, you're protected, however you define that protection. Maybe one day I'll do a show on what I believe on that, but unfortunately I believe that that teaching comes from the enemy, because all I've ever seen that teaching do is divide people. And I don't really want to take part of the division unless I feel called to do so one day. It's not my topic, is to cause further division, so... It's one of those topics where it's almost like politics. You know, it's kind of hard to be careful how much of a stand you take on that topic, because all you do is cut people off. You know, people who sometimes, you know, a lot of good people believe false teachings. So it's not my, you know, thing to get out there and teach you, you know, which way that is true and which way I feel is correct, because it don't matter. I'll tell you this. It's going to happen the way God wants it to happen. You know, no matter what you believe, whether you're a pre-tribber, post-tribber, a pre-rapture, mid-wrath, I don't know, whatever the things are, or no tribulation person at all, or I'm sorry, no rapture person at all, it really don't matter what you believe. What matters is what God believes. And what matters is, as I said earlier, you have that oil. You're spiritually protected from this great harlot, from this beast. So getting back on topic here, here's a mind that has wisdom, now picking up in verse 9. Seven heads are the seven mountains on which the woman sits. These are also seven kings, five have fallen, one is, and the other has yet to come. And when he comes, he must continue a short time. And the beast that was and is not is himself also the eighth, and is of the seven, is going to perdition. 10 corners are 10 kingdoms, which have not yet received no kingdoms yet, but they will receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. They will make war with the Lamb, they will overcome. And since we're short on time, I'm going to keep on down here. Okay, also verse 18. And the woman whom you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. It's Babylon. It is the financial system of the world. It is, in some ways, it was also Egypt. It was that way as well. Hang on a second. Excuse me, I hope I didn't cough in your ear there. That one hit me unexpectedly. So yeah, you know, in some ways, also, you consider Egypt in that respect, because, you know, you go back and look at the back of the dollar bill with the Great Pyramid on the back. You know, there's a lot of financial ties between Babylon and Egypt. Both were places where God's people were held captive. And today, we are held captive by Babylon. Babylon being the financial system of the world. You know, that's what we're now. Again, Revelation chapter 18 there, that's the financial captivity you're reading of. And we're all slaves to it, especially in Western culture, in America. You know, if you think you're not a slave to it, go out there and don't work for a while and see how long you make it without work. You know, and go out there and work and make a lot of money and see how quickly you can lose it all. You know, there's just no end to how much money you can make in this country. It's the greatest country in the world to make profit, to make wealth, to make gains. Yet at the exact same time, this is the greatest country in the world that will devour every bit of gains you make and every dollar you earn. There's just something out there that will take it from you. You know, whether it be forcefully through taxes and, you know, through a lot of taxes, and we're one of the highest tax countries in the world. Whether it be forced that way, or whether it be just through consumption of stuff you really don't need, or consumption of things you really enjoy, but, you know, there's no matter what, there's always something to eat the money away. And that's where we are today in Revelation 18. But know that when Revelation 18 falls, when that Babylon is destroyed, and when that one is fallen, that the people of the world will weep for the days that we've lost. Now, the days of electricity, the days of air conditioning, and the days of credit cards, the days of having cars, you know, the days of watching TV, of listening to the radio, when those days come to an end, and they will, that's what's coming in the Great Tribulation. Understand, there will be tribulation. There will always be tribulation. Christians go through tribulation day in and day out. You know, Christians are being persecuted all over the world. It's minor here in America, but it's major, you know, especially in the Middle East right now. Christians are being persecuted massively. The video is being published. I mean, there's been times where they've beheaded so many people that the ocean was turned red, you know, and the waves were just full of blood. So many Christians being beheaded on the beaches. I mean, all the ways that they've been tortured and tormented over there. And it's happening in America. It's not happening on a large scale. It's still very small right now. But it's coming, and it's going to get bigger. This is why a lot of times when you're reading, especially in Isaiah and Ezekiel, you'll see two different accounts of the fall of Babylon. You know, that's why you see two accounts, because the Babylon system we live in today will fall. Everything we know will come crashing down, and a new Babylon will be rebuilt during the final 3.5 year tribulation, during the final 1260 days, the final 42 months, all the time frames mentioned in the book of Revelation. During that final time, will be the great tribulation. That will be the time between the sixth seal and, you know, I imagine from my studies, the time frame from the sixth seal to about the fifth trumpet happens pretty quickly. It may even happen within a couple of days. It may happen within a couple of weeks. I'm not sure. But that time frame will happen pretty quick. And from the sixth seal to the end of the seventh seal, I believe, is pretty much a 3.5 year period. And that the final bowl is being poured out happens pretty quickly. I get that from just, we'll get to that in a later study, but, you know, just from the shape of how a bowl is, you picture a bowl in a flat pan. Any people ever, I don't know, changing oil in a car in a big flat pan, trying to pick it up, or same deal, you know, people have ever cooked, you know, and you realize how much it will start tipping back and forth and pour a pan of fluid out, and notice how quickly it pours out. And it's not something that slowly pours out. These bowls of wrath, the wrath of God, are poured out quickly. So, I believe those bowls are reserved for the very final days of the 3.5 years, and that they're all poured out pretty quickly. I may be wrong. You know, I don't paint myself in the corner with this theology. It's just what I believe. You know, I'm not anchored down to that belief, but that's what I believe. So this time frame we're looking at here, between the sixth seal, you know, when the beast is released from the abyss, and no man dies for 5 months, and these four angels who abound in the rivers Euphrates are released, and all these swarming locusts, which is the demons, the spiritual realm being torn down at the sixth seal, you know, the veil between us and the spiritual realm, and the spiritual realm being the same realm the demons live in, you know, when they were in Legion, we couldn't see them. You know, we just saw Legion. We didn't see all the demons inside of them. But when the sixth seal happens, I believe this realm, this spiritual veil will be torn down. We will see the demons. We will see them all around us. You know, it's like ants swarming all over us. They're all around us, so we'll see it. And they'll be released at the fifth trumpet. And they will be tormenting, just beyond torment, beyond belief. You know, you won't be worried about eating. You'll be so tormented if you're alive during that time and you have not been sealed by God. If you're one of those mentioned right here in Revelation 17, who's, I guess, the left behind type group, you would say, you don't want to be in that group. Not bad. The only way out of it, of course, now is to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and prepare yourself with a will. Be ready for His return. But moving on to that, we must draw comparisons before I run out of time here. The mother harlots and the daughter harlots. I call chapter 18 daughter harlots because really what you're looking at here is King Ahab and Queen Jezebel as a comparison. Now, of course, they were real people. But go back to King Ahab. He married the daughter of Jezebel, the king of Sidonians. You learn this in chapter 16, verse 31. Jezebel was the wicked wife of Ahab, and she's a picture of the mother of harlots. Ahab, of course, the seventh king after the split of the kingdom. The kingdom was split after the death of Solomon. Ahab was the seventh king after that. He reigned for 22 years. You'll realize that he's the one who killed the prophets and First Kings chapter 18, 100 of which were saved by Obadiah, and he divided them into two different camps. That way, if they got one of the 50, they wouldn't catch the other 50. First Kings chapter 21, verse 23, Jezebel, the Lord said, the dog shall eat Jezebel within the walls of Jezreel. And Ahab is killed at the end of First Kings. Jezebel is not. Jezebel does not die until 2 Kings chapter 9, where the dogs eat her, and no one shall ever bury her. 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 30, Jehu came to Jezreel. Jezebel heard of it, and she painted her eyes and adorned her head and looked out the window. The painting of eyes of women. You know, you go back to Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 30, and Ezekiel 23:20. We'll have time to read all that today, but basically, if you ever get into, I really wouldn't encourage you to study the book of Enoch. I've read the book of Enoch, guys, and be honest with you, my personal opinion of that book, it's interesting. It's interesting commentary of what may have happened, of how things may have happened. I did not feel the Holy Spirit in that book when I read it. I did not see the path of salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ ever mentioned in that book. I didn't see it. Even though salvation through Jesus Christ isn't mentioned in the Old Testament, it symbolized a lot in the Old Testament. It was never symbolized in the book of Enoch. So while the book of Enoch may be true commentary, or maybe at least partially true, I don't hold it down as, you know, like I do the Bible. But either way, in the book of Enoch, it was the fallen angels who came down and caused the flood of Noah. Now, they were the ones who fell during the days of Jared, who intermingled and mixed with the daughters of women, who created hybrid offspring children. The giants were born to them. You go back and read the Greek mythology of the Titans, you know, the Clash of the Titans of Zeus and Hades. You know, Zeus would have been Satan. Hades would have been the beast who went to the abyss. He didn't go to the abyss yet, but he eventually goes to the abyss. You know, that's who all these people were. You know, Zeus was Satan. Hades was Azazel, you know, or the scapegoat, whatever you want to call him. He had another name, Enoch. I forget his name, Enoch, if it was different, though. You know, but you study that stuff out, and that's when you go down to the abyss. Well, locked in the abyss is this beast who gets locked in the sixth seal when the earth is split open and it swallows down the water. We also read, and I've shared just in other shows, and go back and listen to episodes, especially 9 and 10, is one of those two episodes where I read to you what happens in Isaiah. If you read Isaiah 31, it talks about how Eden is carried down into the abyss. And you have to be careful of that. You got to be able to read Greek. Go back to the Greek Septuagint. Was it not 31? Maybe it wasn't 31. Maybe 32. I'm looking for now. Where's 32 start at? Right, in the rain. You know what? It's Ezekiel, not Isaiah. No wonder why I can't find it. In Ezekiel, I'm sorry, 30, 31, 32, right around there, you read about how paradise was taken down. Paradise, of course, being Eden, carried down into the pit. It looks like it's chapter 32. So I'm going to have time to read it because, again, I'm down to probably less than 5 minutes remaining in the show. But go back and read that, Ezekiel chapter 32. That's not it. It is Ezekiel 31. Ezekiel 32 describes the seven heads which are in the abyss. Ezekiel 31 talks about the place being sucked down into the abyss. Starts off with comparing things to Pharaoh of Egypt. But then it goes off and it describes Eden, about how it was taken down to the abyss. So anyways, read that. It's interesting. And from that theory I have there, you know, the beast from the abyss was the guardian angel. His sword went to and fro. That phrase in the original Hebrew in Genesis chapter 3 or 4, whatever that was, I covered in the show how that phrase calculates to 666 in the original Hebrew. And that is his mark. He was that beast who was, he's the one who caused the original fall. That's why he was the cherub appointed to guard the way, not the devil. That original fall there, as laid out in the book of Enoch, which taught women to paint their eyes to seduce men. You know, and it works, guys. Look, women wear makeup today. It's seductive. That's what they do. You know, you're a man out there and you see it. Generally, those angels knew what we would physically be attracted to, and they taught women to do that. So that's what Jezebel did there in chapter 9. She painted her eyes. And, of course, she dies later on in that chapter. She's trampled, and she's killed and eaten by the dogs, just as she was promised to be. So but if you go back and study this history, this beast, how he fell after he was the guardian cherubim, who was guarding the path to Eden. I believe he was the guardian cherubim. I'm going to say I believe that. It doesn't necessarily say he was. It's my belief. That's what he was. Somehow or another, this harlot spirit was attached to him. I cannot say where this harlot spirit came from. That's the one thing about the Origin Show I'm going to tell you. I'm not sure exactly where it originated from. But what is written in that chapter in Ezekiel 31, you read Ezekiel 28 about the beast who's in the abyss and all the things about the harlot that are mentioned along with this beast. Every precious stone was your covering, all the diamonds, these things like this that were mentioned there. How he was a covering cherub, or the guardian cherub, as was mentioned there. I covered this in the other show. But here's the really catchy thing. Who was Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, the king of the Sidonians, right? Go back and read 1 Kings chapter 16. Jezebel's father was the king of Sidon, and Sidon and Tyre are always mentioned together. Even Christ always mentioned them together. When he says, oh, things that have been done in Tyre and Sidon, I mean, things that were done in you were done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have been saved. You remember that verse from Jesus, right? In the Gospels. Well, go back here. What did it say in Ezekiel chapter 28? The first several verses are, son of man, take to the prince of Tyre. Then the next several verses pick up in verse 12. Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre, and say to him, thus says the Lord, all things about me is full of wisdom. He was perfect in beauty. He was in the Garden of Eden, the Garden of God. Every precious stone was his covering. You were the cherub who covered, or the guardian cherub, whichever way you want to interpret that there. Going down to verse 20, son of man, then the word of the Lord came to me, said, son of man, set your face towards Sidon and prophesy against her. Behold, I'm against you, Sidon, I'll be glorified in your midst. Read on about that verse. All that Ezekiel 28. Everybody believes that's talking about the devil. Pay attention here. Who was Jezebel? Her father was a king of Sidon. Sidon and Tyre were neighboring towns. Usually they ruled each other. You know, they were two separate towns that always generally always ruled by one king. There may be a prince of Tyre when the king of Sidon ruled over. There may have been a prince of Sidon while the king of Tyre ruled over. But even though they're separate towns, there are always a shared power. And you'll find the seven heads being listed in Ezekiel 32. They're listed even in the same sentence. Where is that here? Let me go over to it. No, I'm sorry. That was me checking through the ball. My mistake. I misquoted myself there. I just scratched that last part. But yes, they're mentioned together, and it's important to know that Jezebel's father was the king of Sidon. You got to put that together and read Ezekiel 28, showing you all the hints that this harlot spirit mentioned in Revelation chapter 17 is also paralleled in Isaiah 47. And what is her main teaching? We go to Ezekiel chapter 13. Also, by your own time, read Ezekiel 16 and 23. I won't have time to get to it today. Ezekiel 13, one of the main teachings they have is in verse 20. I'll flip over to it here. Nope, earlier verse 20. Likewise, son of man, set your face against the daughters of your people in Ezekiel 13, 17, who prophesy out of their own hearts, prophesy against them, and say, thus says the Lord God, woe to the women who sew magic charms on their sleeves and make veils for the heads of people for every height to hunt souls. Will you hunt the souls of my people and keep yourselves alive? And will you profane me among my people, a handful of barley for pieces of bread, killing people you should not, who would not die, keeping people alive who should not live, by your lying to my people who listen to the lies? What is she teaching? Behold, therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I'm against your magic charm, by which you hunt souls like birds. I will tear them from your arms and let the souls go, the souls that you hunt like birds. All right, and then you go back and read that in King James, guys. It says, teach people to fly away to save their souls. That's what it says in King James. This new King James version I'm reading changes a little bit. But go read that in the King James. I don't think I have that true King James handy. See if I can get one up real quick before I lose time. Time may cut me off, though, guys. I'm in the final minute of the show. I don't know exactly what second it will cut me off. I will attempt to read that one verse, Ezekiel 13:20, in the King James, because it comes out better in that translation. But it says in there, basically, you teach my people to fly away to save their souls. So look in that teaching that this harlot spirit teaches. What is the teaching that teaches people to fly away to save their souls? And know that that's the teaching that he's referring to here. Verse 20, and I will tear them from your arms. I will let the souls go, even the souls that you hunt, to make them fly. So, that's the teaching that she has there. Also look, Proverbs chapter 5, 6, and 7. Look at her teaching she has. That great harlot that Solomon warned you about. Read Proverbs 5, 6, and 7. You'll see that it is not only seduction, it is also financial that she teaches. And there's more, guys, there's a lot more to this spirit than what I've shared with you today. I've only touched the surface of what this teaches. Yes, what everybody else tells you about her is true, but there's more to it than what you've ever been told. Keep studying, and I'll be back with you with episode 22 at a later date. Thank you, guys. God bless you. Have a good night. Remember, it's all about